Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Hot Topics at HCAM TV. My name is Ken Clark. I'm the retired fire chief from Hopkinton, Mass., and I also worked a couple of other after my retirement here in Berlin and also in Upton after my retirement, some short stints there. The scope of this broadcast is to share fire and EMS service-related experience of current and retired personnel on a both a career and a call level. And I want to reach local, regional, and national subject matter that I can share with you to, like, just give, share, and provide and share information with the general public who might not know that stuff. And any other pertinent fire service-related issues we'll just go over. I think we're out almost a year on the planning to do episodes, so it's like that's where we're going. One thing I'd like to say right up front, again, which I did after on the first one, is it's not the intent of this podcast to second guess or be the Monday morning quarterback for any operational decisions made by an IC on the street. So we're not here for that on any of the podcasts and any related like that. It's like we just won't go there. You got to be in the shoes of the person making the decision, and it's so easy to do that, but we won't go there with this podcast, okay? Today, we are very blessed, and I welcome Chief Gary Doherty, Jr., Chief of the Hopkinton Fire. How long have you been chief now, Gary?
About a year, sir.
I can't even believe it's gone by that fast. I worked for many years as his father's deputy, and when his dad came up and his family came up from New Jersey, and his dad was our first chief from outside and did a fantastic job. I worked very closely with him and got along with him very good, and he's still a good one to chat with at the end of the driveway. If I'm outside, he'll pull over and we'll chat away for a while. But I want to welcome Gary in, and I know he can give us some detail, but I know he was a veteran. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
In our earlier episode, we talked about community service. The veteran service that you did is at the top of the ladder for service. Thank you. But I know that military, Air Force, you can go. You can, when I'm done, you can give the details of it, please. And with some a stint in Afghanistan, was it?
Yes.
Afghanistan, and some other projects that he can tell us about. And what our main talk about today, after we get through his biography, is to talk about the annual BAA marathon and the operational challenges that he faces, maybe some that I didn't face when I was there. I was kind of tasked with that IAP, the Incident Action Plan, for 21 years, but things have changed, even in only the 9 years that I've been out. So he can share some of that with us at 30,000 feet, so he's not giving away any of his secrets, what's going on. But if you could just share your biography with our listeners, would be great. Thank you, Chief.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for inviting me, Chief Clark. As you know, I've worked under you for years. Yeah. Prior to coming to the Hopkinton Fire Department, I was in the military from 1998 to about 2004. During that time, multiple deployments to the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Yemen, and some other countries. After getting out of the military, I got lucky enough to get on the Hopkinton Fire Department, and like I said, in 2004, and I've been there since then. Moved up through the ranks, lieutenant, deputy chief, and now fire chief.
Yep. One comment I'll have, when he was a shift lieutenant there, he was always one that I could count on if I wasn't around and he was, and something was going on, I always knew he was headed in the right direction. Strong background, both of operational and on. He worked really hard to, on his background in the college level all the way up to his master's. Thank you. I know how hard that is to do that. I didn't get that far in my life, so it was like, thank you for doing that hard work. And he was prepared every day, you know,
But as you know, it's the job when you love it. It's not a challenge.
It makes it easier.
It's fun to do.
Now, both of us have quite a background in the marathon, but I just like to start with you. It's like has there been any of the, since the recent event in New Orleans or the event in Las Vegas, has there been any operational changes that you can are able to share with us?
I think after every major event, we always look at what happened there and what we could bring into Hopkinton to prevent any type of thing. I know with some of the new bike lanes, the road changing, I know that's more the on the police side, but I know they are addressing that type of ramming stuff.
Yep.
And actually, we've been addressing that, I think, since the 2013 bombing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know many years ago, we were the first ones to use the fire marshals. Resources of the explosive detection canines, and they were always, once they came, they were a big part of our plan every year.
Right.
And I can remember dealing with the sergeant, it was Jerry Galizio and Billy Qualls, and they came in and we told them what we needed them to check for us, and the only thing that we asked for them was don't do it the same way every year so someone can patent you. You know what I mean? Do it different. And it's like, and we had a robust plan. And those are the kind of guys that those resources you could really count on to stand side by side with you if something had gone on. I was very comfortable with that resource. Now, what are some of the other outside agencies that you deal with to help with that incident action plan?
On a yearly basis, we deal with multiple mutual aid towns just so we can have the proper number of resources. We also work with the United States Air Force, their Surf P team, the Army CST team, hazmat team. They're like the big ones that we work with regularly.
Yeah, great resources to have. They've been on board for many years, so it's like it's good to see they're still involved. Now, what do you think is your? Well, first of all, let me start. What time does your day start on marathon day?
My day usually starts around 5 a.m.
Yep.
We usually have the personnel in by 5:30, and then we start distributing units from there.
Yep.
But as you know, the planning for this starts months in advance.
September, October. it hasn't changed.
Nope. Yeah, the amount of meetings good. And MEMA.
Yeah, it's good, though. It's much more, when we first started it years ago, it was much more of a local effort, and now it's much more of a seems to be, unless something has changed, more of a regional effort. Resources are shared.
I would say it's even more like national. It is
national.
Like now, because it is considered a Sierra One event.
Yep.
So there's a lot of federal partners that we go with now, too.
Yep. Yep. They've been good to work with, and it's like you don't get to work with them a lot, so it's a little bit of, not uncertainty, but some of just don't get to work with a lot. Is that you got to build that bond, and it takes years to do that. So that's a good thing. I know that's a positive. Now, how does the command and control function work? Again, none of your secrets, but just that we can explain to them like the command and control function for the whole event and Hopkins areas of operations, if you still use that.
Basically, we build our whole plan off the ICS model,
NIMS.
You know, we use a unified command, and then we break it down for the fire department operations. And then we would break it down. That day, we kind of sector the town out, and we have pre-designated ICS roles should something big happen. That chief officers from surrounding communities already know their roles.
Yep, and they're in town with you that day, ready to rock and roll?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Yep, that's good to hear. And is it, I know it used to be easy to get help in define them a role. Is it still that way? Like people are really gung-ho to come in and help out in a positive way?
Yes.
Good. Yeah. That's good.
I think the trickiest thing this year is the date it falls on because it's Easter weekend.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, and plus we have the 250th in Concord this year.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So, that was always, that was more of a early morning event, but maybe that might change.
Because of the 250th this year, it's a weekend event. So a lot of our resources are being shared with them.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah, good point. Yep. Now, how did your has your military training in experience adjusted how that you have done things with the with your incident action plan?
I would say everything is evolving. just some of the training you get in the military, it makes you think of things differently.
Yep.
But yeah. I would say being in the military, it makes it easier to work with the military branches that come
yep.
in. Because okay. I kind of yep. know the ranks. I know how to address the people. Yep. I know their lingo.
Yep.
I would say that's where it's a benefit of the military experience.
Yeah, I know that was a little bit of a challenge when we first had the Surf B come, and they had to bring their major, who was their like unit lawyer adjutant, is that what they call it? Something.
I'm not sure.
It was a long time ago, so it was like when they first came, and it was like when we brought them here, it was the first time that unit had to been deployed inside the country for an event.
Right.
They trained and trained and trained and trained yeah. and did some military scenarios, but first time they had been to a, I don't want to call it a civilian setting, but right. other than a military event, that they were predisposed to, came early rather than being, yeah. they were proactive rather than reactive for it, is probably the best way to yeah. say it.
And I would say after the first year and as moving up through the ranks and becoming the deputy stuff, I was really able to form a good relationship with the captain there.
Yep.
And they've actually come down and done training with our members.
Oh, that's awesome.
Prior to the event.
Yep.
I know. And that way we can kind of learn their equipment and learn our equipment.
Yep. And they came in. The Surf B had doctors, and they were set up to do trauma and right. and multiple casualty MCI type events, and so that was a great asset to bring in the Surf P, and it was a good find, and they became available, and took a lot of haggling to get them initially in, but right. when they came in, they were like both feet in, and yeah. they were, I know they were, in my time there, they were fantastic for that. So it's like, the other thing I think I see now from my standpoint is the UCC is stronger than it was at that time.
Yes.
Yeah, which is a positive for you guys, and right. and that's really good.
Yeah. Really, we've expanded the UCC probably a lot since you've left.
Yeah.
And the way we dispatch, the way we do run cards, everything. We have an independent run card for the whole town that day,
mm-hmm.
and the UCC officer basically makes all the decisions. We have basically a matrix that says, you know, this assignment gets X, and they decide what trucks go based on geographics.
Oh, so, there you go.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, you still have that broken down into the three areas of operations, the start line, Runners Village, and then the whole rest of the town?
For the most part, yeah.
For the most part, yeah.
But the way we distribute units is a lot more.
Yep. Yeah, well, it makes it yeah. easier for those people. They had to, before we learned that advanced technology way back is like we had someone saying, okay, we go here, these pieces go, and it's good to see you have it that defined, which you need to now. You need that structure.
Yeah, not only, as you know, not only do we need to worry about the race itself, we still got to worry about the community and our
Yep, 495, and the Mass Pike is still there, you know what I mean?
And making sure we can get to all the citizens in town in a timely manner if something happened.
Yep. So, it's always been challenging, and I've seen it in my career when we had people and we actually would have them in the station. Everyone would be at the station, and we actually ran fundraising for the organization, for the association, had a booth over in Claw's parking lot and sold hamburgers right. and hot dogs and stuff like that. And then they'd call on the portable and they needed someone, you'd run over the station and go. So it's changed a lot from the 70s and early 80s. And then we started formulating a plan, and it's like, but I always enjoyed the planning. It was different, time consuming. You spent a lot of time on it, but it was a different type of planning that you didn't get to do most of the year. So it's like, it was enjoyable. The meetings in Boston, having to drive into Boston, were good for the EMS sector. And it's like, I don't know if you still have to do that. And
yeah, we do. We do all the sectors and stuff.
Yep.
And the big thing, like you said, the amount of resources that day. You know, on a regular basis, we're only responsible for seven to ten firefighters. That day, now we have over 100 firefighters and paramedics in town.
Yep.
For approximately 25. Units.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
that's good. You got everything covered really well. Yeah. I was actually reviewing the last time I got asked to go to the 19 for the down at BAA as that. Do you still have someone at the MEMA bunker for?
No. Are you volunteering?
No, no. I like to cook hot dogs and watch the runners walk past the house now.
Yeah.
My house is right on the route from the runners' village to the corral, so they all go by and wave, and we have my granddaughters there now and cook and just have a fun time of it rather than being tied into your plan. No. If you ever needed somebody in a pinch, so I could help you, but that's like, no. Now, is the regional fire district really involved too still? Do you lose some resources due to the up in Concord, their festivities?
We're not losing much this year.
Yeah.
I would say regionally we lose more of District 14 going east, just some of our normal everyday mutual aid partners because they're basically tied up themselves.
Yeah, Ashland.
Yeah, so we rely more on
Premium Natick.
District 7 and District 4.
Oh, good. They've been very open to working with you and helping you with that?
Yeah.
Good. So. Now, what are some of the things that you, if you're able to share with me, some of the critical points that you need to address every year in your plan that it might be a tough question to answer.
I think a lot of it is has to deal with geographics and making sure that we can get to anywhere in town in a timely manner. And, after every year, we reevaluate of, like, what worked, what didn't work. Like, I can give you one example. There's a lot more parking on South Street than years past. And then the past couple of years, West Main Street and South Street have been basically gridlocked.
Really?
Yeah, because of the way they keep messing with the traffic patterns. And a couple of years ago, we had two or three calls on South Street. So after that year, we looked at the plan, and we actually said, what can we move here or to kind of speed up responses to the west side of town?
Did you have to identify resources to put down there?
We just kind of looked at what we had and then looked at some statistical data and say, okay, this truck has been at this point for how many years, and has it ever gone on a call, or what does it has it gone? And we were able to move some trucks that had a lower call volume to an area
to the busier areas. Yeah. Yep. Oh, that's what you want to do. You want to review that. Things change in our dynamic every year.
Yeah.
Yep. Good for you guys.
Yeah. It also kind of helps us from being complacent too. And that's, I think, one of the biggest challenges.
Yep. Yeah. Do all, with the exception of Ashland, because they have their own particular in-house going right, with the race going right, cutting them in half. Do all the surrounding mutual aid companies still come and help you?
Yes.
Like Southboro, Milford, all those?
Upton, yep.
Westboro, Upton, yep. That's good.
Yeah, we're as far as Foxboro now.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I think the farthest we got down that way was Bellingham when I was there.
Yeah, we try not to take too much from every community. Because years ago, we'd be able to take, an engine and an ambulance. From now, we just try to take one resource from each community.
Yeah. Now, how is the... Have the meetings at the state level, at the bunker that they run to, those meetings already started, or you've already been going to them for months?
Oh, we've already been going,
yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was always a good to get them. I know it was interesting to see that those first 2 years after I retired, I went down for Chief Slam and as a liaison down there, and it was interesting to watch it.
Yeah.
Watch that after just being here for all the years.
It's a different perspective.
Yep. Good way to say it. Different perspective. No. And I know we're a little short on time here, but that's all the questions I have. And I want to remind our listeners that any questions that you may have, being our second episode, and we're taking questions on my email at hottopics@hcam.tv, hcam.tv, and I want to end all the episodes, but being the second episode, we're doing two at the same time here on the first day, episodes 1 and 2, is get some questions from the public, from other fire personnel that we can ask at the end of all the episodes. So Right now, thank you for coming. I know you got a busy schedule, and taking your time, and tell your mom and dad I said hi.
Yep. Thank you for the invite. Appreciate it.